He is Justin Davis, user experience designer and tenacious traveler.
He is Aubrey Goodman, web services and Duke of development. And this is a little show that we like to call Distilled. Welcome in here. You can find each of us. You can find Aubrey at Aubrey Goodman on Twitter. You can find me at JWD2A. I understand it's the worst possible handle. Don't keep reminding me. And you can find this You can find my verbs that I like to use when I speak somewhere out in a trash can along with this podcast. Or you can find this on iTunes or Podomatic. You can also hit us on Twitter. If you want to hear us talk about anything specific here on the show, you can do that. Just hashtag it with Distilled Topics, and we'll try to pick that up and cover that on the show. No one yet has taken us up on that. We've been saying this now for like a year.
About a year.
And so I think we need to start offering things.
Incentive?
Yeah.
I don't know what we would offer.
I don't have anything. No. But that'd be awesome. So,
I don't know.
So today we have a couple very special... I mean special guests here on the show
special.
With us. We have Mitch Neff. And Saxon Baum here. Baum?
That is how you say it.
Awesome.
What's your Twitter handle, Saxon?
My Twitter handle is at Saxon Emanuel.
Mine is actually at ZXYQ __
/
Justin needs to learn how to make a goddamn Twitter handle.
So glad I could be an inspiration to somebody. That's awesome. Awesome. So what we were going to talk about today, and the reason we've invited these fine folks here onto the show, aside from the fact that sometimes the echo chamber gets fairly loud, we wanted to talk about OneSpark. OneSpark was a really great event, a crowdfunding event that happened in Jacksonville. That's Florida, not Arkansas. Jacksonville.
Wait, there's Jacksonville, Arkansas?
There probably is.
There's a Pittsburgh, Mississippi.
Perfect. Yeah. It's probably. Yeah. I don't know.
This is Jackson, Mississippi.
Unless you could be right there.
Yeah. I'm going to Jackson,
Mississippi.
There you go. That's Jackson, Tennessee.
Really? I thought that was about Mississippi.
No, I think it's Jackson, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think. I guess I always assume that because I lived in Nashville, so Jackson was 2 hours west. So anyway. But OneSpark was an event, a crowdfunding event that happened in Jacksonville about 2.5 weeks ago or so. And basically a big event where you had close to 700 what they call creators. These are people who had apps, companies, businesses, initiatives, nonprofits, whatever they are, out there with a booth demonstrating what they're doing, what they're working on, trying to raise awareness for their cause or their thing, as well as directly raise contributions. Attendees could either give money directly to the creators through an app that was on the phone or through a website, as well as cast votes. And those votes, the tally of the votes, basically determined how a $200,000 crowd fund across the entire event was divvied up between all the creators. Another really great way for creators to make a little bit of money. I know that Drawer and WeView, as Saxon was out there.
I was there. Hustling hard.
I didn't make a lot of money, but I made a little bit of money.
Hey,
got some users out of
got
it.
Got some users.
That's right.
That's,
you know,
money.
So that's currency,
that's
baby.
Right there. That's value currency. Right there.
So it was a good time. So, we're here to talk a little bit about OneSpark and how awesome it was. It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a great time. I had no expectations really going into it. First time in Jacksonville, and it was a great city. Really enjoyed it.
It was my first time downtown. I was really impressed.
It reminded me of Tampa. It just wasn't quite there yet. It's getting there. I mean, it's definitely it was a festival, so there was obviously much more people there than there would be on a regular basis. But yeah, I really liked the city. I thought the food was killer.
Yeah, it really was. Know.
That food truck row.
Yeah.
Boy. God, no kidding.
What was the burger place? The burger truck? Some bombshell.
The little
Bombshell Burgers.
Bombshell?
It was a pink truck.
They were Babies Burgers.
Babies. Babies Badass Burgers.
Babies Badass Burgers.
That's what it was. It was like one of them was called the Bombshell. Yeah. That's what it was.
I thought they were going to be small. I thought they were going to be sliders because they were called Babies.
Yeah. No. No. Not in any way. No.
Not at all.
Not at all.
No.
They were, that was a good burger. Awesome, what else I have? I had a really good sticky bun when I was there.
The noodles.
The noodles were fantastic as well.
And the barbecue, of course. I mean, there's all kinds of great food out there. There's all kinds of great people out there. I was really surprised the most, I think, at the different, verticals or sectors represented. I think I was going in expecting primarily technology companies, primarily apps, but there were artists of all stripes. There were tech companies. There were really more like just social good projects, nonprofits.
Yeah.
And there's really was a little bit of everything, and it was really cool. I think that the term creator is very apt because it was creators of all sorts and stripes. That were there just kind of showing off what they do. And I thought it was absolutely fantastic environment for everybody to see all these people coming together.
Yeah. No, I think you're exactly right. There was a lot more diversity. And I'd say the quality of a lot of the creator stuff was very, very high, I thought. You know, obviously you had a continuum there, right, as you expected too. But I overall, the entire event, I was very impressed.
I think so. I absolutely think so. And I mean, you know, granted, it's probably... I mean, you were a creator, so I mean, you know, you brought that bar way up.
That's true.
You and the guys from WeView,
looking at everybody in comparison, then maybe
it's a different level.
I agree. I am probably also a little biased, just being from Tampa, but there was, in my opinion, a definite difference between a lot of the "Hey, we have this idea. Here's our pitch deck." I saw a lot of those kind of apps. But from the Tampa Bay region, I saw a lot of finished apps that people could download in the app store.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I really thought that we, as in, you know, Tampa or outsiders, were a step ahead of everyone else there. You know, we had a downloadable app. So did you, Justin. We were pitching that. We weren't pitching an idea. You know, we already had some funding. So maybe that piece wasn't as exciting. But the fact that, as you two said, I mean... the conglomerate of artists there was just absolutely incredible. Everywhere you walked, you heard good music. You saw amazing art everywhere you went. And
it was a hell of a party.
It really was.
I love the concept of the donations, too. Like, that was great. There was just so, for instance, there was a lady that had her space set up in the sidewalk. I can't remember which street it was on. Outside that, you know, that one bar we went to that one time.
Oh, that one and, time, of course.
Yeah. And
a lot of those conversations with Mitch.
You know, it happened at that place. But you know, she had this set up. She made custom-made clothes, and so she had some cool dresses, some cool purses, and things of that nature. And the creators aren't technically there to sell anything. However, there was like a little note inside this one purse that I thought my daughter would really like. It was like, you know, it just said $20. So I was like, well, hey, yeah, I'd love to get this purse. She's like, well, we can't sell anything. I was like, well, how about a $20 donation?
Right, yeah, exactly.
And she's like, oh, I would love to give you something for your donation. Yeah. Would you like this purse?
Exactly. Here's the thing, it's the old
501c3. That's how it works.
That was awesome. I think that, you know, the thing that I thought was really cool about it is it's really neat to me to see something like this coming out of Florida, and for Florida to get the attention for this. I mean, there were evidently 240,000 attendees, which is an astounding. When they said they expected 150,000, I thought that's incredible.
This is the second year of OneSpark.
Right.
This is only the second year this has been in existence. And last year, they initially anticipated something around like 10 or 15,000, I think, was like their initial estimate for how many people were going to show up for this. And over 100,000 people showed up.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Wow.
I was talking to the guy that started it, and he was saying, you know, asking me, could something like this work in Tampa? What do you boys think?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it could. I think it could. Personally, what I think needs to happen is, you know, they're going to now do OneSpark in Berlin.
Okay.
Right. In October, September, October. And then evidently I'd heard that they said they want to do OneSpark in a lot of cities in the U.S. I think that's a mistake. I think
agree.
Jacksonville should keep it and own it, and it should be like South By.
Yes.
Like, you know, it happens here so that the city starts to draw people in based on that cultural.
It's less the only problem I see with that. So if you look at most of the creators that were there, the vast majority were either local or we'll say regional.
Right.
They're regional.
I would say regional, yeah.
And a lot of these folks, especially once you get outside of tech apps that have been funded and are making, you know, revenue positive, it's not too hard. I shouldn't say it's not too hard. It's a lot easier to get like an app a little bit more revenue positive and have travel funds than it is for, let's say, some lady who's making custom clothes.
Yeah, no, that's right.
And it's running for herself. So I think that there's a way that having it in various locations around the country would be extremely helpful to those local creators in those local economies.
Right.
Because, you know, it's not as easy for some people to say, okay, hey, I'm going to take my awesome pre-made booth and throw it under the plane, and I've got a few $100 in my pocket to go do this. So I think doing it all over, maybe as close as Tampa wouldn't be okay, but maybe, you know.
Maybe you do it on the four corners, right? So maybe you do one northeast, west, south. east, west, whatever,
spread and you do southeast, one a quarter.
Right,
or
so you don't dilute the audience.
Yeah,
east coast, west coast, Midwest, whatever. You know, I mean, whatever that whatever they come up with. But I think that there is room for more of them here, and I think that it's an incredible concept because there's a lot of ways that. Some of these folks would never get that kind of exposure. Right. Never get that kind of exposure that they get just by showing up.
Yeah, yeah, just by being there. I mean, the one contingency that I think for it to come to a Tampa or go to another city is really the city on board. I mean, Jacksonville was shut down. There was, what was it, 10 blocks that was completely shut down.
I mean,
there
was that. I mean,
there was no cars coming in or out. I mean, and I think, you know, I told the guy when he asked me that could it work in Tampa, I said, yes, it could work, but we need the city behind us. So
that's you have to. I don't think it will.
You couldn't do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, that's a little bit like, you know, the IAFA coming in and kind of just taking over downtown for a couple of days. You know, if you get the kind of buy-in from the city and from the local community, then it doesn't have to be so unbelievably disruptive. I actually was amazed at how many people there were here in Curtis Hixton for that event.
That was a huge crowd.
And I felt like there was negligible impact on, you know, on the surrounding
areas.
I've often thought it'd be cool to, you know, take, and you guys have probably heard me say this before, just to take Gasparilla, actually put it into 1 week, bookended by weekends, and have Gasparilla, have the night parade, have the film festival, the arts festival, the 5K, and add a tech festival.
I think so.
That's something that we were talking about.
That's
and there have been people
here
who talked about that in the past, and it's been kicked around. It's just never gotten off the ground. But I think it's a...
It depends, because you got to look at it. You know, you look at something like a New Orleans Jazz Fest. You could never have something tech involved there. You know, it's just too much based around music. Is Gasparilla in too deep with the pirate tradition that you couldn't get something like tech going with it?
I don't think so. I think you could, and I think you actually build off
of
that.
Seriously, this is a festival where we celebrate a mythical pirate. Like, we can really do whatever the hell we want.
This is a serious holiday down here. Okay, people, I hope you understand this.
Well, I think that the problem with doing it around Gasparilla is actually more around the fact that there isn't a, quote, Gasparilla committee. I mean, there's the old Mystic crew that runs the night parade. There's a different crew that runs the day parade, different crew that runs a 5K, different group of people that run the film festival.
Yeah,
so, I mean, there would
disparate.
Have to be, exactly, there's no connection to, like, make it all, hey, we're all going to do it this week. It's just kind of like, well, it's after Groundhog Day,
that's kind of a metaphor for the Tampa Bay region in general.
Yeah, honestly, separation.
So, wait a second, you have a whole lot of groups doing
this
things.
This one thing has seven chiefs and no CEO. Okay, I get it.
I've heard this story before.
Yeah.
I mean, with that many people around, you're right, Mitch. I definitely think that you could get something going with tech. I mean, especially that tech community bleeds into that fun, loving music party type community.
We're gonna be there anyway.
We're gonna be there, so you know, may as well get some cool stuff going around it too.
Yeah. So I want to come back to One Spark, and I want to see if we can pull Ned Pope in here, who was highly involved and very instrumental in certainly helping to give a lot of creators some space. Ned is the president, right? President, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Of Florida Next Foundation. And a great organization that works all over the state and was one of the sponsors of the floors at One Spark. And the way that this worked is you had these things called venues, and a venue is essentially a collection where creators are a space. We happened to be in the sixth floor of the SunTrust building in the middle of downtown. That was the venue, and that venue was sponsored by Florida Next. Ned, I'm curious to hear your thoughts about how participating as Florida Next, sponsoring a venue, what that does for you guys as an organization, what you saw, all that type of thing.
Well, it was a good time. It creates a lot of great exposure for us. You know, we want to be very active in what we see as our role around the state is pumping up people with great ideas that are also action-oriented people. And there are no more action-oriented people than entrepreneurs and business owners. If a business owner is not action-oriented, they will not be a business owner for very long. So by nature, you know, that really fits with the vibe and the theme that we stand for around the state. Also, innovation. I love it whenever you can go into a one-stop shop, a single festival, a single event, or something like that, and just have a glut of very interesting, innovative ideas. And so something like OneSpark, where you had close to 700 creators in everything from arts and culture to technology to nonprofit and community development type of solutions, I just thought it was really incredible. And I did want to touch on something that you all were talking about before as to, you know, how could this be replicated? My thought on something like OneSpark, I agree with you, Justin. They need to build it in Jacksonville. You know, you guys struck when the iron was hot up there in Duval and hit on something before anybody else really did. And now you have the opportunity to grow that and you know, to build that. Now, I've heard some things from people unaffiliated with anything, unsubstantiated, unfactual, completely and totally, just virtually my opinion that I grabbed out of space, that they might be doing something like this in San Diego next year. But that as far as the U.S. is concerned, it's really West Coast and East Coast.
Right.
And I think that that's a great idea because you don't want to dilute it, but you also want to create something. So look at what we did here from Tampa. We took a bunch of folks up there, and we had the second place technology company, and we had all of our creators finish inside the top 200 out of almost 700. We didn't have a single one that finished outside of that.
Yep.
Speaking of, you know, the Tampa groups that we took up, we had the number one crowdfunding organization in Black and Denim that raised over $5,000 in crowdfunding.
Wow.
And they're based in Ybor City.
Yep.
So think about the concept of doing something like OneSpark on the west coast of the United States, where it's not like traveling to Berlin. It is a distance, but you are now have an opportunity to take all these Florida or southeastern based organizations that have gotten used to the format of OneSpark, that have bought into it, that have participated, and now they're jumping over to the West Coast and they're exposed to a whole entirely different audience because that's really the goal, right?
Yep.
So I think that that's cool. I think there are other opportunities that we're probably going to pursue with the OneSpark folks to partner on smaller events leading up to the tent pole, stake in the ground, Jacksonville event on an annual basis. So I think you might see some things popping up around the state with the OneSpark brand that feed into the growth of that festival in Jacksonville, but also bring the great things that the OneSpark committee is doing in Jacksonville to other communities and expose the entrepreneurial communities to OneSpark.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Now, as far as hosting the venue, I think we did if I walked out of it, our assessment, I would say we did a C+, B- job of that. And I've heard other people say that we're being too critical in that assessment because there was really no precedent for hosting a 15,000 square foot venue on the sixth floor of an office building with an unfinished floor and unpainted walls and all the other challenges that come along with it. But I thought the Tampa Bay Wave folks, the staff particularly, Deborah and her team did a phenomenal job. We absolutely would not have been able to pull the venue off without her. And when I say we, I mean I would not have been able to pull the venue off without her, me and my enormous staff here of people. So that was tremendously helpful, and I'm extremely grateful for that. And I think we learned a lot. I believe that the format that we had for trying to build in events to get a captive audience in the building to look at our creators was something that was somewhat unprecedented for the other venues. There weren't a lot of venues doing that. They were relying on foot traffic. And so I think that worked. And I think it could work even better as we, you know, learn how to manage it and organize it better in the future, which you live and learn on this kind of stuff. But I certainly feel like it was a tremendous success simply because the people that we hosted got a lot of attention. Yeah. Made some money and felt like it was worthwhile. And at the end of the day, that was the goal.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that I would say that I would change about it is transparency. I wish they would have been a little more, you know, upfront, what you need to have, where we're going to be type thing. I mean, we got there and we realized that what our creator number was. The creator number essentially is how you vote for these businesses to win. And a lot of these people that knew about it, they actually printed up materials. So they had materials with their number on it, passing it out, making it extremely easy to vote for them, where someone like us or Jor, you know, we kind of got there, realized our number when we were there, and then had to, you know, play behind the eight ball a little bit.
Yeah, that's
it
right.
Ended up being okay, but...
Yeah, I want to go back, and I thought about this during the event and after the event. And maybe I'm being a little bit too optimistic, and maybe this is a bit of hyperbole, but Do you think this could be, this event could become another South by Southwest caliber event?
I think it absolutely could, because I mean, one, it has a large enough mix of art, of tech, of everything else that goes along with it. There's a little bit of something for everybody. It's accessible to get the content in there. The creators get to go. It's easy to, you know, they had a large collection of creators. So the content of the actual conference is those creators. That's what people go to see. And as long as it's easy and accessible for them to get there, I think that you can draw a huge crowd. Yeah. Will it ever like shut down an entire city and be a multi-gajillion dollar moneymaker that South By is? Probably not. But that's not the spirit of OneSpark. The spirit of OneSpark is to, you know, get those creators over, and is for the community to come together and see how awesome this region is and what's going on around town.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mitch. I think it's less about bringing in the Googles, bringing in the Facebooks, and it's more about bringing in the local people, you know, making their backpacks, making their T-shirts, whatever it would be. It's bringing together community.
Yeah.
As we said, a lot of regional people. As much as I would like to see this be a massive festival, I think keeping it sort of small is a nice thing. Mm. You know, it's we had a great time. I mean, I don't know how much more I would want in terms of corporate exposure.
Sure.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with you on that one, Saxon. and I think, you know, the term small is a relative term because they had almost 300,000 people there.
Compared to South By, I imagine.
Yeah, but compared to South By Southwest. And I think you also have to be careful when you're comparing to other conferences because, you know, South By Southwest will never be replicated anywhere else because a lot of the charm that makes it what it is Austin, right? Mm-hmm. So you're not going to go to another city and replicate the culture and the vibe of Austin, Texas somewhere else. And then the other thing that I think makes OneSpark unique is the fact that South by Southwest started as a music festival.
You
had people who went there, and everything else that was built around that for the festival was feeding off of the ancillary interest of music lovers, right? So they went to the festival, and people started having these you know, idea light bulbs saying, well, what else do music lovers like? What else can we add into this that might bring some value to this, a one-stop shop? So then you have the technology that's, you know, building off of that. You have film festivals and things of that nature, all sort of in the creative arts space. But I think that because this was established as the crowdfunding festival, you know, the way to do in-person crowdfunding as opposed to being on a website that's somewhat still, even though easy to access and very successful and growing fast, still a relatively impersonal experience.
Right.
Whereas this, you get to do all of the benefits of being on a crowdfunding website, and you also get to interact with the entrepreneur.
Yeah.
One of the things we hear all the time in the startup community, we go around, all these angel investors, what do they say? I don't invest in the company, I invest in the CEO.
People.
That's the team.
Right?
Team.
That's what they always say, the team. Yeah.
Team.
So the technology or the idea brings them to the table, gets that initial conversation in the first place, but from there, it's a person-to-person interaction.
That's right.
Could not agree more.
I believe that that's what OneSpark does, but it creates an environment where it's not just the high net worth accredited investors who are having those conversations. It's people like us who are saying, I only have 10 bucks, but me and all my friends, you know, we account for X amount if we all jump on, and then that elevates your status in terms of the exposure that you get. So it's kind of like the you know, everyday person's opportunity to go in and invest in things that they believe in. And so I think it makes it unique, but it does have a chance to grow significantly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm surprised the Kickstarter didn't beat them to this, right? I mean, this is the Kickstarter live.
It's Kickstarter live.
I mean, it's surprising that you know, probably next year it'll be sponsored by.
Something's going to happen. They're not getting away with it again.
Too much of an obvious play.
Someone's stepping in. But I think it'll be great to see on the West Coast. I think it'd be great to see, you know, more people getting involved wherever they are with these kind of initiatives, because it gives a hell of a lot more visibility to you know, a lot of companies that wouldn't otherwise have had it. I mean, you guys, Justin and Saxon and Taylor, who's joining us here, all are, you know, a little bit more fortunate than a lot of the companies up there, in that you guys are all in this one space together here at Tampa Bay Wave. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You guys have already worked together. You guys already, you know, help each other out all the time in terms of, hey, I got a friend who was asking some questions about this thing that you do. So maybe you could talk, you know, there's that connection, that community already. There's a lot of the folks that are up there, a lot of the other creators that, you know, maybe are living in a little bit more of a vacuum, and that this is like a huge, huge, huge opportunity for them. So I think that the more we can get to that, whether it's just two times a year here in the States and elsewhere around the world, whatever, the more we can get to that, the better off everybody's going to be.
Sure.
I mean, realistically, I don't even think most people know what crowdfunding or crowdsourcing is these days. Now they know, you know, in the last 2 years or so, but before then they had no idea. This is bringing it to the forefront, letting the average person know what we're doing behind closed doors and bringing that, you know, out of closed doors for everyone to see, bringing it all together.
Yeah, that's right.
I think on that note, it was really amazing to see how the creators really helped each other throughout
the
This is Taylor Wallace from WeView here.
This will be my one snap because I have to run here in a minute and I was late getting here. But yeah, the creators really helped out each other. I mean, the anecdote from our venue, going back to how we drove people there, we all collectively knew all, you know, whatever 60 creators it was that were on our floor, that we were going to have trouble getting people out of the sun and up to the sixth floor. So we chipped in on a keg and then we chipped in on another keg.
And then another
one. Third keg there, and everyone in the venue, you know, the first one, whoever didn't throw down for that, they helped pay for the second one, and really no one ended up spending more than $10 per keg.
Yeah, it ended up
unlimited
being
beer for themselves and lots of foot traffic.
Yeah.
I think on that note too, some of the bigger companies that already had some funding, like we went into it and asked for $1 billion and our
objective and we got
really
it obviously
to crowdfund, but it was really to test our application at a festival and get feedback and talk to, you know, maybe some bigger VCs that were there, and we definitely had that experience, but a lot of the other creators we saw that were in that space weren't really asking for votes. They were more just pushing their brand and trying to help out the smaller companies and giving votes, and I really didn't ask for that many votes, but I definitely gave a lot of them, and I think that was the general consensus, with some of the bigger creators helping out the smaller ones, and everyone just cooperating. It was really
really awesome.
Anyway, thanks for that.
Yeah, thanks for the cameo.
It's awesome.
Appreciate it. Very good. So I think that my opinion is I would definitely go do it next year. You know, from what I understand, you can't go back with the same idea
That's
2 years
right.
in a row.
Yeah.
What do you all think of that? Well, how about this, huh? You know, so it's like, I guess it's a good thing though, right? So you don't end up like South by Southwest, where you have like these kind of stalwart companies that just come back year after year.
Yeah, but I
want to
go
year.
Back next year. What am I going to have to do? Start a new company?
No. Just rebrand and call it Vayview.
That's right. iView.
YouView.
Perfect, Aubrey. Perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect. So it's interesting. It's an interesting idea that you can't do that. Now, you know, I don't know. There should be some sort of like, where are they now type of thing, right? You have all these people who are basically very early stage.
Like a milestone, like an accelerator. Or, you know, it's kind of like an accelerator if you think about
like
it.
Yeah, like a One Spark alumni showcase kind of a thing.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
It.
That's right.
Like
yeah, that that's right. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. Definitely
maybe
at the
we can start a podcast for
at the underbelly.
At the underbelly.
Most definitely at the underbelly. Which, by the way, if you go to Jacksonville, Florida, you must go to Underbelly.
Have to.
That they had the best whiskey list.
Yeah. And
awesome. By far.
Best
don't
music,
for,
best
by the way, don't forget that recommendation. That came from Mitch Neff, and you too can keep that in drawer so you don't forget.
Where would I keep something like that?
I don't know. It's a great question.
If only we had 2 minutes left to talk about it.
Damn, I lost my shameless plug time. That's funny.
So let's talk about me.
Yeah.
Who wants to hear my pitch?
Yeah.
I pitched 100 times over that weekend, at least.
Yeah, easily.
So it's like a machine by the end of the weekend.
Yeah.
There's a good view made from One Spark. Check it out on the WeView Facebook page. Just runs you through a little bit how much fun the weekend actually was.
Love it. That's
and
awesome.
Just so that you folks out there in Radioland are clear on this, it's WeView, V-U-E.
Thank you, Aubrey.
Is it
Radioland
or is it Podcast Land?
Podcast Land is sort of a very odd, dark place. There's lots of Cheetos.
there's a veritable cornucopia of Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew.
Cheetos.
And you in the distance you can hear this
honey, come up for dinner.
Or your number three cheesy gordita crunch is ready.
That's right.
Either way.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for...
damn radio shows and get your ass out of the basement.
Well, thank you guys so much for jumping on the show.
Thank you so much for everything, having us. It's been great.
Yeah,
great
fantastic event. Definitely recommend it for anybody who is either creating or just wants to see some of the amazing stuff happening in Florida or elsewhere, wherever this thing is done. So check it out. B1Spark.com for more details on the event, and stay tuned for Berlin coming up.
Now, I do want to drop this little one in here. I did talk to a couple of the lead volunteers from OneSpark last night, and they're going to join us for Geekend next month.
Excellent. Oh, no kidding.
Yes. There we go.
Oh, by the way, let's quickly plug that.
Michelle and Damian will both be down here for
Geekend. That's awesome. So just we need to start plugging this every show, probably.
We do.
Geekend is a monthly series of three events here in Tampa Bay. We've basically taken some events that we were doing for the past couple of years, and we've strung them together into one weekend to celebrate the technology and the place that we live here in Tampa Bay, because we love it so much. We call it Geekend. It happens on the last weekend of the month, starting on Thursday morning with Geek Breakfast at 7:30 a.m. at Jimbo's Barbecue on Kennedy Boulevard. On Friday night in the evening, starting at 6 p.m., we have an event called Open Pitch Night. 6 p.m.?
6
yeah, 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. called Open Pitch Night, sponsored by Startup Bus and Startup Weekend. And that's where anybody can come here, pay $5, get pizza and beer provided to you, and then you can pitch, get feedback on your pitch and all that. Really an awesome time. And then on Saturday, we have what we call Armadillo Buffet. What else would we call it?
Exactly.
We don't eat armadillos. We go out to the beach to celebrate the amazing, beautiful place called Tampa Bay that we get to live and work in. And we go out there. It's not a networking event. Don't bring your business cards. Don't bring your computers or any of that bullshit. We go out and we hang out on the beach with beer and chairs and umbrellas.
Volleyball.
And we just hang out all day.
Volleyball, cornhole, grills, all that kind of thing.
Baseball,
that happens from 9 a.m. till ? On Madeira Beach on the last Saturday or last weekend of the month. Just go on Facebook and look for Tampa Geekend. All right, that's it.
Thanks for listening, folks.
See you guys.